This music makes me want to shimmy. Do you mind if I shimmy?
Wendy, I invite you and anyone in our listening audience to spend the next few moments shimmying, please.
Thank you very much.
That was some good shimmying.
Oh, it was just half-assed.
That was, please.
It's rainy. I just feel like napping, not shimmying, quite honestly.
It looks like a watercolor painting outside, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just has that kind of a look. I like it. It's very romantic, but then, you know, if you have to walk in it, it stops being romantic, and it's a nuisance. It's not good. This is the bonus hour, everybody. This is
can't you
60
tell?
Minutes yeah, of stuff that we wouldn't dare put on regular radio because we'd be called out.
Although, I'm going to call you out on something. Earlier today when we were saying goodbye to Steve Cochran, you mentioned...
Temporarily.
Oh, no, just for the day.
For the day.
We were doing our crosstalk.
Right.
You mentioned something about an opposer of Vladimir Putin. Putin, who was... Something happened to him, and you just teased it, and you never talked about it.
This story is so crazy. I will gladly share the story with you, but I'm telling you, this is the kind of thing that you say to yourself, I'm glad I don't live in Russia, because things are crazy in the United States, but in Russia, there's no rules. There's just whatever happens, happens. Guys are getting poisoned left and right. They put weird substances on people, and then they just die.
It's weird.
Crazy. Well, the leader of Russia and the United States, Vladimir Putin, his term is coming to an end. So they're going to have an election to pick a new leader of Russia. And there's a man named Alexei Navalny who wants to oppose him. Alexei Navalny wants to be the new leader of Russia.
How long has Putin been in charge?
Oh, I don't know the exact
date. All right, I'll find out because I'm curious about that. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. Has it been 15 years?
Are there no term limits there?
I don't know how that works in Russia. I don't know.
I think whoever's in charge makes the rules up.
Right. Right. And I don't know if I'd be brave enough to oppose Vladimir Putin at this point.
Because
those who tend to oppose him, they stop breathing, you know? Well, now this guy, Alexei Navalny, is running against Putin. And the other day, he's walking down a street, and they're following him with cameras, and somebody comes, and they put this substance on him. So immediately you think, well, that's the end of Alexei Navalny. In Russia, they've got these poisons that if you just put on somebody, they die, right? But no, he doesn't die. Instead, his skin turns green, and they have used a certain kind of ink that is indelible. You can't get it off. So his face and his hands are like, just as green
Hulk?
As green can be. He looks like the Hulk. If the Hulk went on a diet regimen and stopped working out, he looks like
so
that.
So he's not as beefy.
He's not beefy at all.
But he's as green, and this will never come off?
I don't want to say never come off, but it's very, very, very difficult. They've tried all sorts of cleaning agents. It's just an indelible ink. So he's now the green, he's like the Green Party candidate of Russia because he's green.
Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's so novel that maybe people will want him in charge.
That's his stance. Look at this guy finding a positive in all of a sudden being green, is that he says, now people are taking notice of me. I don't just fade in. You know, when I show up somewhere, they go, oh, that's the guy that got the green ink put out of him. Let's listen to what he has to say. That's not the attitude I would have.
Well, no, and I'm sure he didn't have that attitude immediately.
No, it probably took him a couple of days to come up with that. Here's the story. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny takes a selfie with supporters after he and an unknown attacker sprayed a bright green antiseptic on his face. So he's been trying for days now to get rid of this stuff. Russian opposition leader has turned green, as I mentioned. The attack reportedly happened as the leading Kremlin critic and anti-corruption campaigner stopped to shake a man's hand in the Siberian city of Barnaul. The green liquid that was used in the attack is a common Russian antiseptic, which remains on your skin for days.
Okay, oh, it'll
that's
come
not
off.
Terrible.
Like we have, and it's odd because we had merthiolate. Do you remember that? Mercurochrome.
No.
It was.
Oh, I remember mercurochrome.
It's the same thing, and it was red. It's funny that they don't have the red color in Russia. and they have the green.
You would think that'd be the number one seller.
But you'd get a cut when you were a little kid, and your mom would take a Q-tip or a cotton ball and dip it in methylate or mercuricome. And even though you washed your hands, it would stay pinkish red for several days. It would ultimately wear off.
This is so jarring. Have you seen a picture of this guy?
No.
It's so jarring. He looks, it looks like, you know how, let's say St. Patrick's Day, people go, oh, I'm going to go out in the parade and I'm just going to put green food coloring or dye all over my face. Except he had no control over it. Somebody came up and sprayed him with this stuff. Although, you know what's strange about it is, it's his face and then it's his hands. And I don't know how that happened so exact.
Well, because he had clothing covered in other parts of his body.
Is that what it is?
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I guess so.
He's trying to wipe his face off with his hands, too.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's a possibility, Kevin.
I have to give you a little history lesson about Vladimir Putin, because I found this information out.
I'd love to hear it.
In 1999, Russian President Boris Yeltsin dismissed his prime minister and promoted former KGB officer Vladimir Putin in his place. In December 1999, Yeltsin resigned, appointing Putin president.
So it's been 17 years.
But he was reelected in 2004. And then in April 2005, he made a historic visit to Israel, the first visit there by any Kremlin leader. Putin could not run for the presidency again in 2008, but was appointed prime minister. Putin was reelected to the presidency in March 2012.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, he was reportedly nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh.
So he's been on and off since 1999.
For 17 or 18 years, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Navalny appeared to attack. Appeared to take the attack in stride. He tweeted, "I will be opening a headquarters in Barnaul, as if I'm the man from the mask."
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Why didn't you just say Jim Carrey?
I'm reading a quote from him. Then he says, "Cool. Even my teeth are green." I like that the mask
cool.
is, yeah, I know, he likes this. I like that the mask is common knowledge in Russia. I didn't know that movie translated into Russian lore, but I guess it does. The tweet, it says here, was a reference to the Hollywood film The Mask, in which Jim Carrey played a superhero, wore a green mask. That's kind of what it looks like, if you see him.
Oh my good golly.
Yeah, see what I mean? You can't, like wherever you go, that's going to be noticed. It's a very vibrant shade of green.
It's Blue Man Group, but green.
Right.
That's how, I mean, it's right. not just like methylate or mercurochrome. It
no,
is like
green.
Solid central.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Sinclair dinosaur was the same
right.
color green.
It's Sinclair. Even in Russia, they said it's Sinclair dinosaur green. They knew what it meant.
That's your blast from the past, everyone.
The anti-Putin campaigner was in Barnaul to open his headquarters in the city as part of his campaign to stand in as Russia's 2018 presidential elector. He is currently unable to stand for election due to a criminal conviction for fraud, but his supporters say that the charges against him are politically motivated. That goes on a lot in Russia. Whether you did something or not, word gets out. They have a way of defaming you.
Well, that's how they roll over there.
Here in the United States, of course, we're far more cultured. We would never fall upon these sort of tactics.
And there would be laws against it.
Right.
Again, I think you make things up as you go along in Russia.
I'm kidding, by the way. It's the same exact thing here. I think it's worse sometimes.
Where you hurt people and kill people?
You don't spray. Here in America, we're not to the point yet where we're putting weird things on people to turn them colors. But it wouldn't shock me if that wasn't a year or two away.
I don't know how this guy can smile with being so green. I mean, seriously, Bill, when you said it, I hadn't seen the picture, and I thought it was more subtle. I thought it was like a tint of green
right.
where you could still see. It
oh,
is
no.
like somebody took a paint roller of green paint, and
right.
it's that thick.
Right, it's pretty serious.
What if it doesn't ever come off?
It wouldn't be so bad if they asked you what your favorite color was and then painted you that color. Like, I would go with a midnight blue or something.
I like this green, quite honestly.
It's a very vibrant green. But then I wonder if your clothing choices for the day aren't based on that. Because, like, what if he was going to put on a suit and he goes, well, this doesn't go with green. I can't wear this. I wonder if that plays into the options of what he has to wear every day.
I just find this to be funny that you're talking about suits because, really, how many do you have? You have two?
Yeah.
What color?
Dark and dark.
Okay, that wouldn't go with green. What that do you think? Go. He's got a turquoise suit that would clash with his face. I mean, he's shown in many pictures in a white shirt, which really enhances the green.
Trevor Noah was talking about this last night on The Daily Show, and he said that he hopes this guy wins and becomes the president of Russia, because then in pictures with our president, you have a green guy and an orange guy, and it would look really funny to have two of the most important people in the world represented by colors this way.
Although, I have to say, I'm noticing Donald Trump doesn't seem as orange to me anymore.
Oh, he's still a bit orange. He's still...
Well, more so than you and I.
More than anyone else I've ever seen.
Me, you and me.
Yeah.
You're just getting adjusted to it, Wendy. It's just...
Right.
I guess that could be true.
But you would notice, like, if just a guy was walking down the street who was not the president, and he was that shade of orange, you'd go...
That guy's orange.
That guy's, like, yeah, he's something's up with that orange man.
Well, what's this guy's name again, this anti-Putin activist?
Alexei Navalny, the green man of Russia.
You know what his theme song is?
It's not easy being green.
They play this at political rallies.
Having to spend
he just opens
each
with
day
this.
The color of the leaves. When I think it might be nicer being red or yellow or
midnight blue.
Yeah.
Something much more colorful like that.
Well, good luck to you, Alexei Navalny. We're in your corner. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Did you notice that our friend Judy Pilak is all decked out for the opening of baseball?
Hang on. No, I don't, Kevin. Sorry. Judy?
Hello.
Judy Pilak. That's her name. She does news with us.
You looked like you were going to scold me.
No. I was listening to Kevin. We had some backstage stuff going on. But yes, I did notice how adorable she looks in
adorable.
Her Cubs jersey, Chris Bryant jersey with a skirt and boots. You are just the epitome of fashion.
Thank you so much.
When is opening day?
Sunday night is the Cubs' first game, and then Monday afternoon is the White Sox' first game.
Spring has sprung,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, it's very exciting. Doing a remote tonight, or this afternoon, so on the Rose Show. So.
Oh, is Harry Carey the Harry Carey toast?
Oh, the twin thing.
Yes, that's why I'm dressed the way I am.
That'll be fun.
What will your twin be dressed as?
Well, I don't have an identical, but I'm
God,
sure
could
I have
you
a
imagine
twin somewhere.
If there were two Judy Pilaks.
Wow.
But apparently there are going to be 80 identical twins at the... remote tonight.
I would like to go just because I really am amazed by twins.
I know.
I've grown up with twins. I've been friends with twins, and it's...
Especially the identical ones.
It just blows my mind.
I know.
When Terry and I found out we were having twins, I immediately thought that they would be, if not identical, extremely similar, because when I was growing up, every set of twins I knew looked alike.
There weren't a lot of fraternal twins back when we were growing up.
Right.
I bet there were. You wouldn't know that they were twins, though, so it wouldn't you spark your brain. But when you see two exact replicas of one another, it's mind-blowing
I
and
know.
Cool.
Especially when they get older and they still kind of dress the same and talk the same.
That's
when
it gets freaky.
Yeah.
That's
about
the time.
It doesn't get freaky.
You don't think so?
Freaky fun.
Yeah, I mean, they...
Let's say your sister wasn't even a twin, but just a year older or younger than you. Would you ever say, hey, I have an idea. Let's dress exactly the same and have rhyming names.
Well, that wouldn't happen.
Really, it did happen to me my whole life. My mother always dressed my sister and I the same.
And did you like that? You didn't like that.
She hates her sister now.
Oh, yeah. And then if not, whatever she was wearing the year before, I was wearing that year.
Oh, that's fun, too.
Because she's older.
Yeah. That's always fun.
The identical twins, though, I mean, come on, Bill. They share the womb together, so they come up with this.
But so do fraternal twins.
Yeah. But these, they look, it's just amazing to me. I guess they share the, do your twin daughters have, like, their own little language that they talk?
No, they speak English.
You mean they could just be just sisters and not...
Nobody ever
forget they're twins.
Refer to them as twins. Every once in a while, somebody will say something about your wife and the twins, and I always go, "Which twins?
Twins?
The Minnesota twins? Who are you talking about?" It
that
takes me a while
weird.
To remember. They don't look at all alike. Yeah, there's nothing that would make you believe they were twins.
Interesting.
I remember when Terry was pregnant with the girls, and I have never in my life called them the twins either.
No, never.
It's just you don't. But you see two people who look identical. It just blows your mind. You got to go twins.
It does throw you.
And you got to go get some Doublemint gum.
Immediately. You know what? I learned from Denzel Washington, because he has twin daughters, and he said, my wife and I never, ever, ever think of them as twins. They were born on the same day, and we leave it at that. And I went, yeah, that's...
Well, see, but I think that's strange.
Do you?
Yes.
To deny it that much?
Right. Not to deny it, but I just think if you have twins that you would...
Because
that would always be at the forefront. Oh, they're twins, or you call them the twins.
But you know what would happen is that, like, friends, I have a couple of sets of friends that are twins, and they say...
Identical? Because identical is the only one that makes a difference to me.
Yes.
Okay.
They're identical. So then, even though they're two separate entities and consciousnesses, they're always lumped together. The blank twins. You know who we have to call? The blank twins. And they want their own identities.
Well, look at the Hanson brothers. They weren't even twins.
Two of the three of them were.
Oh, that's right.
One of the guys was separate
but
from Slapshot.
I guess everybody did because it's unique. And they've done studies like identical twins who were adopted out or something and they grew up in different homes and different atmospheres. They end up having the same interests and dressing quite similarly because they're the same.
Yeah.
It's one egg that splits into two.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away from it.
No,
identical
I guess.
Twins. Don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank God this Harry Carey's thing happens because then they have something to do.
So
tonight.
How freaky is that going to be? I'm sure.
Why are they saluting
the
twins for Harry
because
Carey?
Because they want identical wins.
That's a stretch
for the Cubs.
Oh.
A seventh inning stretch. Sorry, that was the worst Harry ever.
I mean, they could have just. I guess they could have gone just with twins. Twin wins.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
But they want identical wins.
All right. All right. And that
and like
takes
you said, if people just showed up, they could say, "Yeah, we're twins," and we wouldn't know because
right.
they're not identical.
Right.
But they could still get in.
Yeah.
And is
everyone's
the whole audience
invited, by the way,
in?
Not just twins.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to be a twin.
But they already know because you had to register to get prizes, so they already know 80 twins are coming.
And aren't some of them, doesn't Ernie Banks have grandchildren that are twins and they'll be there?
Yep.
And somewhere in Harry Carey's family there are twins and they'll
grandkids
be there.
Grandkids or something?
Yeah.
I got to go look at all the twins. That's going to blow my mind.
Yeah.
Who needs Ripley's, believe it or not?
It's better.
It's so cool.
You have identical twins.
Yeah.
That's a great job you've done, Judy.
For those of you tuning in, Wendy is constipated and has been throughout the show.
No, I take Healthy Trinity.
Is that true. Your evil twin?
Yes.
That was my Brando, which was horrific.
Would you agree with me that Marlon Brando is one of the greatest actors of our generation? Would you agree with me on that?
I would agree with you, for
He's
sure.
He's good. That guy, I've never seen Marlon Brando not be excellent in anything. You name the role, Marlon Brando.
On the Waterfront. Awesome.
Outstanding.
And very handsome in that, I got to tell you.
When he was young. Well,
hubba.
Even when he was old, he had a presence. I mean, when he was really old, he...
A presence, yeah, like an Apocalypse Now. That was not good looking.
Yeah, I guess when he was Kurtz, he was a little blubbery toward the end, I guess. But
well,
even
to be nice. Jeez.
Isn't blubbery
did he
nice?
Do a Streetcar Named Desire?
Yes, he did.
Stella.
Yes, he did.
He screamed out Stella. I got you.
That was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was that
he
was
a great actor.
Moment. Great actor. Well, Wendy, if you're a fan of Marlon Brando's, there was a website yesterday. I found this. This is beautiful. These are things that Marlon Brando didn't want you to know. I didn't even know he was holding back information from us. But as it turns out,
thank
Marlon
God
Brando,
for the internet. That's
yes.
all I can say.
Although, what did we just find out recently that was disturbing about Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando?
In the
he
movie.
Hung out with Michael Jackson and
no
someone else.
Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah, and they like...
Now, that story may be
fabricated.
Fake news?
They were going to make...
Damn Russians again?
Yes. They were going to make a movie, a TV movie, about an alleged incident where, upon hearing about 9/11... Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando all
right.
got in the
they
car.
Go, yeah. Well, that was a little bit unbelievable, that
right.
part. But the other part I could see, those
right.
three hanging out.
Well, Wendy, the story you're referring to is in the movie Last Tango in Paris.
Thank you.
There are people who allege that there's a scene, and I'll be honest, I've never seen all of Last Tango in Paris. I've seen bits and pieces here and there. But it's a very violent movie. It's a love story, but a very violent love story. And there's a scene in there that the actress Maria Schneider was not aware of what was happening, and Marlon Brando and the director got together and said, let's have my character, Marlon Brando's character, force himself on Maria Schneider. So now there's people who say that that happened, and there's people who say that that didn't happen. And I don't know which is true and which isn't true. If it's true, it's awful. It would be terrible if that was true.
Well, he may not be a great man, but I got to tell you, he was a great actor.
Yeah.
And can I just jump in and tell you, Judy, because that whole thing with the three legends getting in a car after 9/11, they never spoke publicly about their 9/11 experience before their deaths. So it became an urban legend, but it's not true. It didn't happen.
Bummer.
They didn't get together.
It's the thought of it is hysterical that the three of them would we gotta head out there and take care of the terrorism.
Yeah. It wasn't quite as disturbing as what you just described in the movie, Last Tango in Paris.
Right.
That's disturbing.
That would be awful.
And really, when then you call him a great actor, well, apparently, no.
Right.
Well, maybe not in that movie. But, I mean, that's where you have to figure out what you're going to do. Are you going to separate? I'm not... You know, voting for him for president. I don't think he was a great man, great character, but he was a great actor. How can you deny that?
So you can't take it away from him because of that.
You just said prior to knowing this that he was a great actor.
Yeah, now it's tarnished.
It's tarnished.
Yeah, it's tarnished.
Tuesday, September 11th, the three of them awoke. Michael Jackson.
In their bunk beds. Did you know the three of them had bunk beds?
No.
Yeah, they did.
As the catastrophe unfolded, Brando refused to leave his room, but Elizabeth Taylor took off to meet Debbie Reynolds, who had attended concerts but needed to be back on the West Coast for an engagement. Knowing that Taylor and Brando were okay, Michael Jackson checked in on his mother, Catherine, and his brothers.
Tito?
Yes.
You okay, Tito?
He was okay. But Michael Jackson was not with them. They weren't even together. But
they weren't.
I do love the story of the three of them, you know, on the road in a convertible.
But that sounds like they were pretty close friends.
They were very close friends.
Yeah, they were close friends.
I'll just accept that then. I'm going to put that image in my head, and that just makes it funny, too.
Well, you saw Elizabeth Taylor with Michael Jackson a lot.
Many times.
And Brooke Shields.
Right, she was always in there.
But Marlon Brando, I don't recall.
I never recall Marlon Brando.
Bubbles.
Bubbles the Chimp was
just a monkey.
In.
It was Bubbles.
I guess.
No, it was just a monkey, Wendy.
Bubbles the monkey.
Bubbles the Chimp.
Oh, yeah. And there is a difference.
Right.
But I don't recall him hanging out with Marlon Brando, getting back to Marlon.
I'd be afraid Marlon Brando would try to eat my chimp. I would have to say to Marlon Brando, look, we're friends, Marlon, but the chimp is off limits. Here's a bag of Doritos. Have at 'em. The chimp is mine.
Thank you.
It's like the sequel to The Girl Is Mine. All right, so here's some things that we may... If you knew these about Marlon Brando, please, by all means, speak up, because I didn't know any of these. Marlon Brando had his own island. He lived on his own island.
I heard that.
Did you know that? Believe it or not, Marlon Brando actually bought his very own island. He first saw the island, Tetiaro, while filming the movie Mutiny on the Bounty in 1962. And 6 years later, Brando bought the island. That's cool. That's cool.
Where was it?
Doesn't say.
Caribbean?
I want to say the South Pacific. For some
belly
reason.
Belly high is calling.
And Hillbilly was high toward the end of his year, Wendy. He was in a feud with Frank Sinatra. Did you know that?
Who wasn't?
That's a good point.
True.
But I didn't know their specific feud.
They were feuding. Brando and Frank Sinatra famously feuded, it says here. Sinatra, who was upset with Brando after he stole a role from him. Not that kind of role.
Stop it. You're a fattest. You really are.
Back. Hey, Brando, give me back Sinatra. Give me back my role.
Are you talking to yourself?
Yes.
What, are you looking in the mirror?
I live on an island. It's just me all the time. I get confused as to who's who. Where'd that chimp come from? Give me back my role, Blue Eyes. And the butter. I want the butter, too.
Got
I used that in The Last Tango in Paris.
Rolls butter. All right, you've crossed the line.
For those of you who don't know, there's a butter scene. There's a dairy scene. People in Wisconsin love it. He stole a role from him, an acting role, I'm guessing. He held a grudge, and he reportedly referred to him as Mumbles. Their feud got even worse when they starred together in 1955's Guys and Dolls.
Wait, who called who Mumbles? Because Brando's the mumbler.
Brando is a mumbler.
Frank Sinatra had to have called him the mumbler.
I would think so.
Well, yeah, he was the one who was mad.
Right.
Shut up, cue ball and the mumbler.
Wouldn't
Sinead O'Connor.
And I mean, really steal a role if they both right. auditioned. Who's right. going to get the part? Unless it was maybe a
next song. Time I'm going to ask if there's enough roles for everybody. I'm going to say, give Sinatra some roles, and I want some roles. And a lot of butter. A lot of butter.
That is like the Pee Wee Herman version of Marlon Brando.
That's Pee Wee Brando.
I'm trying to use the phone.
But I can hear it.
He didn't like Burt Reynolds.
All guys were
Marlon
jealous
Brando
of
did
of
not
Burt
like
Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
Burt
How
Reynolds was
be?
Adorable.
I don't like him. I don't like his mustache. I don't like the Smokey and the Bandit movies.
Wasn't he in Playgirl?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, he was. I saw that.
I don't like magazines.
That. You don't like magazines?
No, I don't like magazines.
Why?
Because they put food ads in that are so delicious.
But you eat the pages?
Start to lick the pages.
Along with Sinatra, Marlon Brando did not get along with the legendary actor Burt Reynolds. In fact, when Brando found out that Reynolds was being considered to play the part of Michael Corleone in The Godfather, Brando threatened to drop out of the film.
Burt would have been terrible.
As Michael Corleone.
Hideous. That would have been a...
Smokey and the Mafia.
I'm just picturing him driving up in some crazy-ass car.
With a cowboy hat on.
He could have never pulled that off.
No, that would have been a terrible miscast.
I'm with Brando on that one.
I'm on Brando's side, too. He claimed, Marlon Brando said, that Reynolds was, and I quote,
he's the epitome of something that makes me want to throw up.
I guess you could read into that he didn't like him.
Why?
It's subtle.
He's
Why?
Jealous because.
Do you think he's jealous?
Yes, a lot of the men in that era were. Burt Reynolds got all the attention. He was cute. He wasn't that cute.
Silly. He was a silly actor. Right. And
Although sometimes he played, every once in a while, he would play a serious character.
Like
Burt
when?
Reynolds. Like Deliverance. He's so good in Deliverance.
He is really great
about
in that.
Deliverance.
I don't like that movie at all. Squealing like a pig. Pigs that'll be eaten, not squealed. I don't like it.
I'll bet that's when he started hating him.
When he was in Deliverance.
Right, when he was like, oh, he can act.
Here's one that is shocking. He did not, again, these are the things that Marlon Brando didn't want you to know. He didn't like Frank Oz.
Not a big fan of Yoda, are you?
The voice of Miss Piggy and Yoda. In the 2001 movie The Score, Brando worked with the famous director Frank Oz, who operated and voiced Miss Piggy and Yoda. The trouble began when Brando played a character who was over the top. This caused Frank Oz to tell him to tone it down.
What
movie imagine
was this?
That. A movie called The Score, which I don't think I've ever heard of ever. How would you tell Marlon Brando, hey, let's calm things down a little bit, Mr. Greatest Actor of all time.
Exactly.
Let's just calm things down a little bit.
If you're directing, you got to do what you got. I mean, you're making the movie.
I know. In response, Brando would refer to Frank Oz only as Miss Piggy.
Wow. You know what?
That would hurt.
I'm learning a lot about Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Now,
don't
are these
cross
true?
Him.
How do we know these are true?
These are true. They're on the internet.
Okay.
They're on the internet.
I'm just checking.
In one scene, Brando was so upset with Frank Oz that he refused to act while in the same room with him. He didn't like Burt Reynolds. He didn't like Frank Sinatra. He didn't like Miss Piggy. Here's a list of other actors, Wendy, that he did not like. May I read this as Marlon
Please,
Brando?
Please, yes.
I don't like Charles Nelson Reilly. I don't like John C. Reilly. I don't like John Stamos or Bob Saget, but Coulier's okay. I like Dave Coulier. He's good. I don't like Jake Gyllenhaal and Maggie Gyllenhaal. I don't like Donnie Most. I don't like Anson Williams, but Scott Baio makes me smile.
Seriously.
I don't like Ray Milland. I don't like Ray Walston, but that Bill Bixby can do anything. Anything Bill Bixby touches turns to gold. I don't like Jan Michael Vincent. I don't like Philip Michael Thomas. And I don't know who Philip Seymour Hoffman is, but I don't like him either. Anybody with three names is too much.
He doesn't like a lot of Johns.
I like you, Judy Pilak. I think you do a nice job.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Marlon, you don't have a middle name?
No.
I think you do.
No, I don't.
Alphonse or something.
Nope, you're lying. I don't like you for lying. Give me back my Pop-Tarts. I know you took my Pop-Tarts. Give them back.
Does he have a middle name? I don't know that about him.
I thought he did.
Marlon Brando's mother, here's another thing you didn't know about him, who was Dodie Brando.
Oh, I thought you meant she was Dodie, like doting on him.
No. Her name was
Doty.
Doty Brando, which is such a great name because it starts out so innocuous and fun. Doty, and then it's Brando. That's like the best juxtaposition of names.
Don't even tell me she was an actress.
Doty Brando.
Yeah, but she married into that name, guys.
She was also an actress.
Oh, well, then he probably didn't like her either.
She was known for being, and this is in quotes, different, as she often wore trousers and smoked cigarettes and drove cars.
Was Pat Hughes a fan of hers? The trousers.
Mrs. Brando in the green trousers with the blue pinstripes. I like that it puts that she wore trousers, which is kind of unusual for a woman, I guess. Smoked cigarettes, kind of unusual, and drove cars.
What are they implying?
How scandalous.
There? They're implying something.
Well, no, they're not.
Were women not allowed to drive cars in the 40s and the 50s?
Was it the 40s?
Yeah.
A lot of women wore the dresses, and despite her name Doty, they doted on their husbands.
Right.
She sounds like she was an independent.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially in Hollywood.
Are they trying to say she was a lesbian, maybe?
I don't know if they're inferring that at all. Maybe.
Well, by saying she was different,
woman.
Because why wouldn't they say she was ahead of her time?
Right, right.
But to say she was
different, in quotes.
Yeah.
Who's writing this?
Yeah, who is writing that?
Somebody's making fun of your mother,
Vladimir
Marlon.
Putin.
Yes. This came off the TASS, the Russian news source. So I know it's true. After being cast, if you're just joining us, these are things you didn't know about Marlon Brando because he didn't want you to know these things.
It's none of your business. That's what it is.
After being cast as Jor-El, Superman's father, in 1978 Superman, Brando suggested that Jor-El should carry a suitcase or have a green bagel. What?
What?
The producer of the film, those were his suggestions for Jor-El. Always carry a suitcase and have a green bagel with him. I think he was just hungry.
I was just starving. I don't care what the character does. I want a bagel.
The producer of the film, Ilya Salkind, panicked before the director, Richard Donner, stepped in and persuaded Brando that it was a bad idea to always carry a suitcase as Jor-El and have a green bagel. He also said that the bagel should speak with Marlon Brando's voice.
Okay.
A talking bagel, you know, because it's outer space where things like this happen.
Was he on LSD at this point in his life?
It doesn't say that. It does not say that, Wendy. No.
Was this? When was this involving? This was after Apocalypse Now, right?
This was in 1978. So
didn't he have some drug? Didn't he really? Who was the one doing real?
Martin Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
Had a bit of a drug
problem
during the movie. And the best story about Marlon Brando from that movie, from Apocalypse Now, is they said to him, for you to play this character, Kurtz, you have to know this guy inside out. You got to read the novel and you got to have it memorized because you can't play this role without knowing this guy. It's so important.
Yeah. I'll do that.
So then he shows up and they're filming, and Francis Ford Coppola was the director. So he asks him some question. He goes, Marlon, you know, in the book, the scene where Kurtz, and he's just nodding his head. And he goes, you know how Kurtz does the thing? And he goes, yeah, he's nodding his head. And then he goes, you didn't read it, did you?
No, not a word. I didn't read it. No.
He didn't read any of it.
But I'm a great actor, so don't worry about it.
Hey, he did a pretty good job with that.
He did a fantastic job.
It might be better that he didn't know it because he was...
He was learning it as he went. But the actors in the movie, most notably Martin Sheen, said that, and he did this in other movies too, Brando, he would write his lines, he would write them out on cards, you know, on index cards and stuff, and just put it everywhere. Like sometimes he'd tape it to a vase or a book or something like that.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Did you learn this in like the behind the scenes of Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
Because I heard that. I thought that was just...
No, there's a movie about the making of Apocalypse Now, and they tell all these stories about how he was just so ill-prepared and he didn't know any of his lines. He didn't even read the script for most of it. Just show up. I'm Marlon Brando. I just need to show up. That's
Did he know how to get to craft services?
Yes, that was not a problem.
Now you've sucked me into
Where are the cookies? I want the cookies.
We must take a break.
All right, let's
do
that.
We must take a break.
Well, no, not now. You've missed your cue three times.
What was that?
It's the theme to Pee-wee's Playhouse because you have combined Marlon Brando.
Pee-wee Brando.
Yeah. What would it sound like? Where's...
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right.
Tequila.
Where's Cherry?
I don't like Cherry.
Do you like Cindy Lauper?
I don't like Terry, the pterodactyl on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Who was it?
I don't like the
Lawrence
King of...
Fishburne was the in your
like
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I don't like the King of Cartoons.
No, he's the best.
I don't like Miss Yvonne. I don't like any of them. Give me my cookies.
Take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, can I clear something up? Earlier, we were telling you things that Marlon Brando did not want you to know about himself, mostly. So we talked about the feud that he had with Frank Sinatra. And one of them was referring to the other one as Mr. Mumbles, and we didn't know who was calling who. According to this, the things that Marlon Brando did not want you to know, throughout his career, Marlon Brando had two nicknames. One of them was Mr. Mumbles.
All right.
So it was Sinatra who was calling
That's
him.
That's what we thought.
That makes sense, because as great as an actor as he is, I have found myself on several occasions upon watching a Marlon Brando movie having to rewind it once or twice or three times going, I don't know what
Agreed.
He just said.
And what Sinatra didn't mumble.
No, he was very...
And if you thought he mumbled, he'd punch you in the face.
Even today, if you're watching a Frank Sinatra movie today, even though he's been gone for years, if you say, I don't know what he said, his ghost will show up and punch you in the face.
And maybe not punch you in the face. Maybe just a little slap at the back
right.
of the head.
Julie,
I should
take care
that back.
Of him. Yeah. Yeah, a Zets. He would give you a Zets. Also, his other nickname, and I don't understand this one, was Bud. Bud Brando. I don't understand where that comes from. Some high accolades from Marlon Brando. I don't know why he wouldn't want you to know this. This is a very high accolade. Time Magazine, a couple of years ago, put out the list of the 100 most important people of all time.
He's part of it,
he's
definitely.
He's on there. It doesn't say what number he is.
Still part of it, and he should be.
He changed acting because he was what they call a method actor. Like, there used to be a very stilted type of acting in movies. If you watch movies from the 40s or 50s, it's very unbelievable, the style that they had back then. It's fun to watch, but it doesn't seem like real life. And Marlon Brando was one of the first actors, because he was trained on the stage, but he translated beautifully to film, that really made it much more believable, and it was like you were watching a real guy, not an actor playing a guy.
And that's what's so funny about it, is real acting didn't look like acting.
Right.
He was really good at
right.
that. But see, now you wonder, it's like he was ill-prepared and he was just doing himself.
I think, now I'm not an expert on this, but I think this was toward the end of his career when it was established that he was Marlon Brando. So at that point in his career, he's like, what have I got to lose? If I don't want to read a script, if I just want to show up
That's
on the
true.
Set.
I don't need this.
I don't need this. I think early on, he was probably a little better prepared, I'm hoping.
Because just all the kids in, everybody overacted so badly.
Right, right.
And he was one of the first that didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so he did change it. Is he one of the most important 100 people of all time? I don't know the answer to that, but he made the list, so that says it all.
That's 100 people. I'd like to see that list.
I would love to see that list. We'll find it. Can we promote something that's coming up tomorrow during our internet cast? Am I saying it right? Internet cast? What is it? Our stream cast? What is this?
Streaming radio show.
Streaming radio show. Tomorrow, half of Hall & Oates, the John Oates half of Hall & Oates, will be with us from about, I don't know, 12 to 12:30, right?
Something like that.
Is that right, Kevin, about 12 to 12:30?
He'll be in right at noon 05.
Exactly.
Do we know if he's performing, or is that still not known?
I think we're just kind of winging it. I have a sneaking suspicion that he will, though.
Here's the deal with that, and we'll be honest about it. He's coming to town because he's going to be at an Anderson's bookshop. He's got a new book out.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting how he did it all wrong. He married a gorgeous model and he did all this, and then he's realizing now that he shouldn't have done all that. And as he's traveling, I guess his guitars are traveling separately, so he will not have his guitars.
Much like the president and the vice president don't take the same air transportation in case of a mishap, John Oates and his guitars also travel separately.
Who's going to play his guitars if something happens to him? I don't see what the deal is.
I don't know.
But I think personally, and I could be wrong, I think he's trying to get out of plan. He just wants to come in and talk about his book.
Oh.
But then my son Michael has three different acoustic guitars. Kevin has a couple, and we all offered to bring one in. And
what is he saying?
Well, he wants to know the exact size of them and what style they are and the brand. And Kevin and John Oates have been going back and forth.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm just going to bring one of Michael's guitars, one of my son's acoustic guitars. So if it's there, I'm pretty sure he'll play it.
I hope so.
All He's right. a little guy, though. He's a little guy. And I think he is. He's
How
kinda,
little is he? I don't,
well, I don't know. I'll see tomorrow, but didn't he always appear to be on the smaller side?
Smaller than Daryl Hall, but yeah. I think he's pretty... I think he's...
Tall? Daryl Hall's
yeah.
tall?
Yeah.
Well, I just think if the guitar fits him, it's a personalized thing. Right. I get it. So he might play, he might not, but we will talk to him tomorrow.
All right. He's appearing at Barbara's bookstore. Is that where you said?
I don't know where he is.
What bookstore?
We'll have that information.
If I was him, I would only do
Anderson's.
Anderson's bookstore. I would do indoor shopping centers and call it my Mall & Oates tour.
That's why you are not a musician or a celebrity.
Is that what's holding me back?
That is it. Although Tiffany called, she wants to borrow that. She wants to open up for the Mall & Oates tour. And we have to talk to him about that Garfunkel and Oates, because it's really funny. Is it a comedy duo?
It's two girls that perform, and that's the name of their band. It's Garfunkel and Oates. It's the funniest name ever.
And I got to know if, I mean, he had to sign off on that. He had to.
I don't think so.
Well, then they.
You can't trademark the name Oates.
Well, then they must be paying him royalties. I got to ask him about that. Cause that's
him,
really, and then we'll get our Garfunkel on the phone and we'll have them really be Garfunkel and Oates.
He's always angry. It'll be Gall and Oates.
I think we're finished. I think you're finished. I think you've overstayed your welcome here.
I've overstayed my welcome.
You're doing like little puns that a third grader would do.
I know.
Congratulations. Any other fascinating facts about Brando that you can't leave us without knowing?
I'm going to have a booth in Pioneer Court set up from 1 to 1:30 if you want to come by. And I will, for a dollar, I will share with you one fascinating fact about Marlon Brando. That's my booth.
Okay, what if one person shows up?
Come on by.
But you won't be there.
You don't know that.
I do know that. I know you. What if somebody, it's raining, you break somebody's heart who thinks, I'm going to go, where are you going? I'm going to leave lunch. I'm going to leave for lunch early because I got to go see Bill Leff. He's in Pioneer Court.
He's got fun facts about Marlon Brando.
I have a dollar in my pocket and I want to find out more about Marlon Brando.
I'm doing it.
You better.
I'm going down and doing it.
I'm not.
That's the end of today's show, everybody.
Should have ended 5 minutes ago.
Should have ended at least 5 minutes ago. Yeah, it should have.
It's fun on the stream, isn't it? Be honest. It's pretty fun.
You know what it is? It's unbridled. Anything can happen on the stream. When
and it does.
And it does happen. Tomorrow, John Oates from
Can't
Hall
wait.
Oates.
We have Brian Regan tickets to give away tomorrow. Mm-hmm. On the stream?
Wherever you would like.
I say let's do it on the stream tomorrow.
All right.
Make them come back for more, and then we should promote on our radio show that on the internet show, we'll be giving away Brian
Regan
tickets.
I like that.
Tease, that's what it's called. That's
called
my whole life being
Radio
a tease.
Tease. That's it, everybody. There is no more. Stay tuned.
For
nothing.
What?
For nothing. Nothing coming up next. Nothing. Zero. Bye.
See ya.